This is Bishop J.H. Osborne welcoming you to our broadcast. Hope you'll enjoy it today. Thank you for sharing some time with me. Well, James 3 and 5 says, "Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And so the objective of this time to spend with you is just about some dry wood we'd like to give you or share with you. Not my intent to offer you anything spectacular or great. Just some dry wood, some shavings and scraping, sometimes just a few words. And that perhaps if you can put a kindle of fire on them, and they will grow into a great matter. So it's your job to make a great matter out of a few things that I hope will help you or encourage you or give you strength for another day, whatever it might be. That's the objective of my doing this and sharing with you some of my own thoughts and concepts. Today I'm going to read you a verse of scripture out of the book of Leviticus, which is not a really intriguing book. It's written to the Levites. It wasn't written to the average, everyday man. It was written to the ones that were in charge of all the doings around the religious events and special days and seasons and times that God had commanded Israel to celebrate. So it's called Leviticus or Leviticus, the Levites. In the book, chapter 16, verse 12 and 13, there's some instructions given to the Levites here that I'd like to direct your attention to. "And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord." Now these are the coals of fire from the brazen altar that have already consumed the sacrifice. Then and it continues in the 12th verse. "And his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. He shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not." This was the instructions to the priesthood as they wanted to enter into the Holy of Holies. I'd just like to direct your attention to this part here that says, "And his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small." I'll take that for a subject for a few minutes and we'll talk. My subject is hands full of brokenness. Incense that has been crushed, according to the book of Leviticus, is crumbling and falling apart. It's beaten, it's bruised, it's battered, it's beat down, it's been conquered and overpowered. Incense that has been pressed out of measure to the point that it is broken. You know, we as a generation have a very low tolerance for things that break. We're not a people given to repair, but rather to replace. We tend to discard that which could not endure. I worked at a service station, my father's service station, for most of my life. In fact, did a lot of mechanical work, but we hardly threw anything away. We rebuilt because everything was designed to be rebuilt or restructured. It was made that way. It had screws. It wasn't welded or riveted together. It was bolted or screwed together. So you could take it apart and you could rebuild it. The intent was don't throw it away just because it broke, but something can be done. It can be restored. It can be brought back to a good usable place. So nearly all the mechanical parts, whether it's water pumps or fuel pumps or generators or alternators or wheel cylinders or master cylinders, whatever it was, they were designed with the intent for someone that was able to take them apart and buy replacement parts for them and fix them up. But it's not that way today, I understand. Most of them are just disposable. You unplug them, throw it away, plug another one in, you're ready to go. It's much faster, doesn't require near as much skill, but it's kind of wasteful just to see trash bins full of things that a few years ago could have been redone and reused. So we favor the strong, you know, the stout, the sturdy. You know, and we want things that are durable, as weak and delicate and fragile or frail. It's our highest ambition to produce the unbreakable. You know, we don't like stuff that's frail and weak. And, you know, brokenness spells weakness and failure and defeat and surrender. And therefore, we dispose of things that have proven not to be able to endure. You know, we seek warranties and guarantees. We have return centers to protect us from things that will maybe eventually break. Yet we live in a world where people are broken in their ambitions and ideals and their worldly reputations and afflictions and health and hurt heart. And they've been broken in their wills and seemingly despised and helpless, broken dreams and goals and ambitions. You know, you see people every day. You know, they got broken, they had visions, now the visions have been shattered, their purposes and callings, they have given them up, you know, their self-esteem is now gone, self-assurance and self-reliance and self-confidence has all been shattered, they feel defeated and beaten at the game of life. It's a feeling of wasted time and effort, spinning my tires, a fruitful harvest of a depressing and mind-numbing experience in our lives. I guess we'll all have some of those during our lives. I don't think anyone's exempt from that, because life is not fair. The only way that life is fair is the fact that it is unfair to everyone. So you will have some unfairness happen to you, and things will break, and things will come apart. How could the Lord ever use my brokenness? I'm just a waste, like people consider most things today, just a throwaway, and you're somewhat disposable because you have broken in whatever manner that may have been. Job said in 41 and 45, by reasons of breakings, they purify themselves. There's something about the broken. It says by reason of breakings, it's not just one, it's plural. There may be several of them, and by those breakings, there will be several of them, and they will be purposed, and their design is to purify you. The breaking is to start a process that will end in a purified man, and purification is a painful process. You know, people look at the finished antique chair or desk. It's beautiful. It's been refinished. And it has value in the fact that its restoration has been restored. But the chair remembers the stripping and the scraping and the rending and the sanding and the pain of the process that brought it to this value, because it is painful to be purified. Purification is a painful process. It's taking away some things. It's sanding some things off. To purify means to remedy and correct, to put an end to something and to extinguish something, to forfeit something, to lose and suffer loss, to clear from defilement or maybe just imperfections in your life. You got to sand the dents and the cracks and fill them with some kind of sealer and you know, sand off the layers that are on the outside. This is a negative experience. It's subtraction function. It's a takeaway process. So when things are falling apart in your hands and you know you are helpless to stop it, when the beautiful patterns of your life you have given your time and talent to weave, and they begin to unravel and disappear before your eyes, remember, the reason for breakings is to purify. You will, during breakings, you will set new priorities in your life. You have a new appreciation for life and how fragile things are and how delicate life really is. You place new values on the worldly and the spiritual things. You have a fresh vision and perhaps a new revelation. You have a new determination because you see how easily things can fall apart, how easily one day they can be vibrant and full of life and not very long you see that they have evaporated. Psalms 149 and 4 says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. The word pleasure here is kind of an odd word in the Hebrew. It means to satisfy a debt, because you owe him some glory. So he takes pleasure in his people because you're satisfying a debt that you owe. It makes you acceptable. He delights in and pardons and reconciles men to himself because he takes pleasure in his people. He pleases him, it satisfies him, it gratifies him. So we glorify God for all he has done, his healings and deliverance and all of his goodness and provisions and protections, his ever-present help in the time of trouble. But there seems to be a special influence and satisfaction that impacts God when those who are broken begin to send forth the sweet fragrance of glory that is born out of their own brokenness. There is a special fragrance that comes from broken incense. Incense is a type of worship and praise and glory. And when it's broken and crushed and brought into crumbs, it has a special fragrance that is released from the brokenness. There's a sweet smell. There's a unique perfume. There is an aroma about that that's not like the altar of incense that may have big chunks or bricks or big pieces of this fragrant material. But this has been crushed. This has been tiny particles and bits and pieces and splinters and broken parts that are now, and he has two hands full of it, they said. Take two hands full of that. So that there is an aroma that seems to the fact that God cannot refuse that. When he smells that fragrance, if it falls upon the mercy seat, because he puts this on the coals in his censer, puts this broken handfuls of broken incense into his censer. And that fragrance and that smoke comes up from that onto the mercy seat. And it entertains God with worship and praise that's been born out of brokenness. My text is a shadow and type of this is found in the Old Testament tabernacle. When the high priest makes his entrance into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, and he takes a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord. This incense was offered every day on the altar, but once a year the priest entered the Holy of Holies. He's going into the residence of God. He's going into the presence of his glory. He's going to the habitation of his spirit. It's at those times the coals of fire from the brazen altar that have already consumed the sacrifice. Death has already happened. Blood has already been shed. And the sacrifice has been made. The coals that did this are now put in his censer. And he has hands full of sweet incense that has been beaten small. And he brings it within the veil. Now, this incense has been crushed. It's crumbling and falling apart. It's beaten, bruised, battered, and beat down. It's been conquered. It's been overpowered. Incense has been pressed out of measure to the point of being broken. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony that he die not. I know when you think something is going to kill you, and it seems like it's taking you down, and you have not much strength left. If you can even take your praise that has been broken, the incense of your praise has been broken and crushed. If you can offer that up to God upon the mercy seat, he said, you're not going to die. I smell something glorious. I smell something that's fantastic I don't get to smell every day. That is, there's worship coming out of brokenness. It is a manifest thing that God loves people to worship him and praise him. You're paying a debt that you owe. We glorify God even in the fires. In the midst of fires and suffering and tribulation and trouble and affliction and fears and anxiety, frustration and pains and loss, it's the fragrance of worship. Glory and praise we release through breakings. When your heart breaks, what comes out? Is it bitterness or anger or strife? When your world crumbles and falls apart, can you worship and glorify God in the fire? It's fire that kindles the incense of praise. It is the fragrance born of breaking and touched with a fire from the altar that covers the mercy seat and it entertains God, and you shall not die. Hands full of brokenness. In Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Now, in this multitude that followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I wonder what a leper says when he's worshipping God. The Bible said this leper came to the mountain. Among all, multitudes came down. That's what the Bible said. Multitudes followed him. But there was a leper among them. I wonder what a leper says when he begins to glorify God. You know, thank you for making me a leper. Thank you for letting me die by the inch. My fingers and toes fall off. Thank you for never letting me have a family or have children or a friend even. Thank you for letting my eyes dry up in my head. Thank you that I have to live unclean, unholy, untouched, uncared for, scorned, abused, sick, diseased, and rejected. But he had both hands full of brokenness. And yet he began to worship God, because it's something unique that God cannot resist when a fragrance of worship comes out of a broken incense. And he begins to worship God. And the Bible said you needed both hands full. God cannot refuse the fragrance of leper worship. He could not say, well, I'm not going to do this. I can't touch you because you're a leper. But brother, when worship is born out of two hands full of worship, God will not deny that. In Matthew, there was a certain, in 9 and 18, he spake these things to them. There was a certain ruler and worshiped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hands on her and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Here's a man with a broken heart, a broken spirit, a troubled mind, a belly full of hurt and pain, a dark and dismal home. Because he was asking Jesus, he says, she's probably dead by now. She's now dead. I'm sure I've been gone a while, and she was on the point of death when I left. I don't know all the background to it, but just imagine. He says his daughter is even now dead. That's all I can tell you. He said, if you'll just lay your hand up on her, she shall live. Here's a man with a broken heart, a broken spirit, a troubled mind, a belly full of hurt and pain, a dark and dismal home. But he came to Jesus with hands full of brokenness, and he began to worship. There's a special fragrance born out of that. You get this? A special fragrance born when you worship out of your brokenness. It's a sweet smell. There is a unique perfume. It's an aroma. It's an essence and a scent that it seems good that God cannot refuse. You know the story. He came to the ruler's house and raised up his daughter. But when you can worship when you're dealing with death, and you can praise God when you're dealing with heartache, if you can lift your hands and glorify God, and you got two hands full of brokenness, but there's something about broken incense with just crumbs, small pieces, little splinters, not a whole big piece of incense, just broken incense. And the Bible said you break it up small. I want small incense. And you begin to worship him with that. It covers the mercy seat. And God offers you the deliverance that you need. Behold, a woman of Cana in Matthew came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after me. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost house of Israel. She's a Gentile alien. She's in the world, but she's without God. She has no hope. She has no promise, no covenant with God. She's a reject, unfit, disgraced, lost, and undone. She has nothing but hands full of brokenness. So she brings that to God. And the Bible says in the 25th verse, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Nothing but, that's all she brought. It was just two hands full of brokenness. And the brazen altar had already did its job in consuming the sacrifices. But she brought that to the Lord, and she worshiped him, raising up those two hands of brokenness. That's all she had to offer. And God touched her and healed her daughter. It's a special fragrance. I keep saying it, but there's a sweet smell. There's a unique perfume. It's something that incense just doesn't possess until it's broken. It has to be opened up. It's a purification process. It's a breaking that takes place. And God takes pleasure in that. He can sense the fragrance that is a whole piece of incense, as opposed to that that is in small. It has been broken down small. And yet, the person didn't give up. They just came with two hands of brokenness and offered it up to God. And he satisfies their need. He said, you will not die when you come in before me into the Holy of Holies. Just be sure you got two hands of brokenness. Put it in the fire and let the fragrance cover the mercy seat, and you will not die. in Mark, and when he came out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man would bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and he plucked them asunder. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. Now, I would think that if a leper can worship, and if a man dealing with a dead daughter can worship, and a Gentile woman that doesn't have a dispensation for her time yet can worship God. And here is a raving maniac that saw Jesus afar off, and he ran to him, and all he's got are two hands full of brokenness. And he worshiped the Lord. So I guess the idea is to bring your hands full of brokenness, you know, to the Lord. Go to the inner sanctum of his presence and offer it up with fire from the sacrifice to the great King. Because he cannot refuse the fragrance born of brokenness. Because if a leper can bring nothing but hands full of brokenness, a brokenhearted father can bring nothing but hands full of brokenness. If an alien can worship with nothing but a hands full of brokenness, if a man full of demons and devils can worship, remember, the Lord answered and responded to every need. So when you feel like that you are broken and you've lost your value and things are not like they should be any longer, and you're struggling with life and with the problems and circumstances of life, I hope you'll just bring your hands full of brokenness to the Lord, because it is a fragrance that comes from the worship that's born out of brokenness, that touches the house of God and the people of God and the God himself. And you shall not die, for it will cover the mercy seat for you. May the blessings of the Lord be upon you. I bless you in the name of the Lord.